today as we come to the table.
Remember Abraham remembered the protection that God provided. It would have been a reminder through his tree of remembrance, the Calvary tree as well, being that tree of remembrance to remind us of the protection that God gives us. You know, the Bible says Satan was defeated on the cross. And even as these men came and tried to steal, kill, and destroy, if you will, by taking the well forcefully and violently out of Abraham's hands, Satan tries to come, Jesus said, to steal, kill, and destroy, and to take away what God has given us. But God is our protector. And if you ever forget that God is our protection, you need to once again look at the tree of Calvary, to look at this tree of remembrance.
Feeling vulnerable in these uncertain times? Do you need protection and security? Do you get anxious when things aren't going your way? In today's message, Pastor Mark talks about how the Lord is our protector. He has already defeated death. And so no matter what we're dealing with, He has already won. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. The world can be a scary place, but know that the Lord is always with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. When we trust in Him, we find safety and protection. He is our shield and our defender. When we face difficulties and challenges, we may feel weak and vulnerable, but we don't have to be afraid. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 21, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
God does protect His servants, but God does not give, you know, that doesn't mean that we need to be backed down and cowered in a corner by these false prophets who claim to be sent from the Lord when really they're sent from their own self and simply just trying to take advantage of the body of Christ. So again, David now, or rather Abraham here now, you know, coming in Abimelech, coming to him and saying, look, make sure you don't deal falsely with me. I want to make sure that we do this the right way. Understanding that God's hand of protection is on the believer, he comes and he wants to make it right before God. And notice this, he says, make this agreement with me, this covenant, if you will, in verse 24. And Abraham said, I will swear. In other words, I agree, we'll make this covenant. It's a deal. Then Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. Now we get into this, how do we deal with those in the world that have done us wrong? And what we're going to see in this particular instance is Abraham, number one, confronts the one who has done him wrong in this business deal, if you will. But we're going to see that once that issue is settled, the graciousness of Abraham in dealing with Abimelech. Now, that is how we ought to be conducting ourselves as believers. What is my point? Listen, there's going to be times when the world does you wrong. The car dealer is going to charge you too much. Somebody's going to send you a wrong bill. Somebody's going to continue to bother you. We've even had instances here on a very practical matter here, very practical issues, where people have done the church wrong. Maybe they've done a certain job and they've charged way more than they should, or they didn't come back and finish it, or whatever the case might be. I believe as a Christian, we need to confront that. We need to call them up and hold them accountable. Say, now, wait a minute. We made an agreement. Here's the agreement. That is exactly what Abraham's doing. He's saying, look, this is my well. I dug it. Your men took it from me. We need to deal with this. So number one, we need to be honest. We need to be upfront and deal with an issue if we're dealt with some way wrongfully in our relations with the world. But here's the caution that we need to have, and here's the lesson we need to learn from Abraham in this passage today. And we're going to see this in just a couple of verses. Once the issue was settled, Abraham simply signed the deal and said, you know what, let's move on. You didn't see him pitch a fit. You didn't see him start screaming retribution, and I'm going to sue. You know, we'll have the well lawsuit or whatever, you know, and have it all over the court systems or whatever because you didn't do us right. The bottom line is that we need to deal with those in the world graciously, hold them to account, but then deal with them graciously or we blow our testimony. Guys, listen, is it better that we get our money back or that they come to Jesus Christ? It's better they come to Jesus Christ. And Paul writes this in the scriptures. He says, as a believer, it's better that we suffer wrong and be a good testimony than we try to prove our point. So we don't need to march into the place that did us wrong and say, do you have any idea who I am? And I'm a child of the king, and I'm going to tell you, and you're going to do this. And I'll... Listen, yes, we hold them accountable. Yes, we say, I've been done wrong here. But at the same time, we don't go in there and blow our testimony and our witness, because again, if we don't deal with them rightfully on the worldly issues, then we're never going to be able to reach them on the spiritual issues. And that is the ultimate goal, and that is the ultimate place we're looking for, to reach them for Christ and to reach them in their life. And so Abraham here again saying, you know, you've done me wrong. Your men have done me wrong, and they've seized my land here again, or seized my well. Again, water was extremely important in this region, and I think that goes without explaining. It was a desert region, and no doubt they were quite upset with what these men had done. So let's deal with it. Here's Abimelech. Let's talk about it. Again, the word seized here means it was taken by violent force. So these guys came in and they forced Abraham off of it and took it by violent force. It may have even been the military. It doesn't tell us who it was, but they must have been somebody pretty tough, because we know that Abraham was no slouch with his servants. And again, we know that Abraham would have, of course, been dealing graciously. But again, this was no easy project, finding water, and probably a lot harder to dig for it. And he says, your guys took it and they seized it by force. We need to get this right. And notice what happens. Abimelech said, well, I don't know who has done this thing. You didn't tell me, nor have I heard of it until today. Now, I can imagine his heart was beating a little bit faster here. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We've done Abraham wrong. Remember, guys, what happened last time we did Abraham wrong? The whole womb thing and the barren thing and everything shut up and we can't have any kids and we're in big trouble. So what happened, Abraham? I'm sure that his ears perked up. He said, yeah, your guys came in. They stole my well. They took it away. Look, nobody told me about this. What do we need to do to get it right? And again, Abraham, although he had lied in the past, his testimony with God was such that Abimelech still respected him and wanted to make sure that things were done right. And plus, I'm sure in Abimelech, there was a fear of God here. And so again, says, let's get this right. So notice what happens. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Now they make this agreement. And again, this covenant included that the fact that they wouldn't militarily go against each other, but this covenant also included the well of water that had been in dispute. So he says, all right, you want to make an agreement? We're going to throw this in as part of the agreement. But again, I love this because all it says is the two of them made a covenant. It doesn't give any sign that Abraham caused him any more problems. And again, here comes in that gracious aspect that I was talking about when it comes to dealing with the world, even when we've been done wrong. You know, I heard one pastor sharing recently about being bumped off of a flight that he was on. He was on the flight. He was on it. He had his ticket, and somehow he got bumped. And so he goes up to the counter. He had to be somewhere. He was like really anxious. I've got to get back. I don't want to stay here. I've got to be there. And they said, you know, we see you've got a ticket. We're so sorry, but we've already done it. It's too late. He said, you know, here's what we'll do. We'll give you another free ticket, and we'll, you know, take care of you overnight, whatever, until you can catch another flight or maybe try to get you on standby. And he said everything in his being was making wanting to say, you know what, we need to deal with this right now, you know. I'm upset. I got to go. Come on. You know, and he was really mad about it. But he said there was a voice in his heart that said, now, you know what? Wait a minute. You're a Christian. I know you're upset. I know you've been done wrong. Be gracious. Have the right testimony. He said he walked away by the power of God under his own admission. He said, I couldn't have done that on my own. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to take this graciously. I'm going to be nice. And he said, I was just smiling. He said, yeah, that's just, well, you know what? That's okay. These things happen. And God bless you guys. And it'll be all right. And he was there for a little bit longer. I don't know if he's waiting for standby or whatever, but they began to talk, and they came over to him later and said, you know what? Because of your attitude in this whole thing and the way you dealt with us, we were just talking with all the staff over here, and we've decided not only to put you on this plane, but we're going to put you up in first class. And he was like, Lord, you are so good. Because again, see, God is a rewarder of those who do their best to walk righteously before the Lord. And we have to be able to recognize our flesh starting to well up and try to subdue it and push it down. Abraham, I believe, dealt very graciously with Abimelech here by the indication of Scripture. And so now we see again God rewarding him in that effort. And notice verse 28, and Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, well, you take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand that they may be a witness between you and I that I have dug this well. Now again, he's saying basically, look, we've made the agreement, and no doubt Abimelech would have said, hey, have the sheep. You know, I mean, have the well, not the sheep, but keep the sheep and the well, because I don't need that. You know, I see that God's hand's with you, and we want to be on good sides, you can have it. And Abraham said, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be a man of integrity. We've taken the well. This is in your realm of your kingdom. Let me pay you for it. Here's these 7 ewe lambs for the well. Again, that would have been a great exchange. Again, the very valuable flocks in those days that literally were their stocks, so to speak. And so that was their form of payment. And again, number in the Scripture, you know, the number 7 represents completeness. And so we see a picture here of Abraham saying, look, I'm completely paying for this. It is now mine. I've paid you for it. And if anybody asks any future questions, it was a part of this agreement and it was a part of this covenant that we made together. And so again, you can see the integrity here of Abraham's heart, not only in the graciousness with which he dealt with Abimelech, but now in the integrity of his heart to be sure and to pay Abimelech for what was his and now had been purchased by him. Now, again, notice this. It's interesting to me, and I want to point this out before we move on. Again, Beersheba means well of oath or well of the seven, obviously referring to this agreement. But notice how wise Abraham was, even using the name of the well so that everyone in that region would realize, this is paid for. This is mine. It's kind of like naming something, you know, Mark Kirk Well or something. You know, people, what's that? Let's take it. It's Mark Kirk Well. Oh, I guess he must own it, right? Yeah, I guess. He didn't call it Abraham's well. But he said, it's the well of the seven and the well of the oath, Beersheba. And everyone would say, well, who made an oath? Oh, that was Abraham. And that was Abimelech, the king of the region. Oh, well, let's stay away from that. So you see his wisdom here in protecting it, even by the name that he gave it. But it's also significant to me here. And this must have been a very exciting day for Abraham because this is the first official piece of land that Abraham now owns in the promised land. Wouldn't that be exciting? God had said, see all this? It's all yours. Really, it's all yours. But none of it was really his yet. There was no place he could plant a tree, so to speak. And now suddenly he gets a piece of land that's his own. And we're going to see in just a minute, the first thing he does is, guess what? Plant a tree. Obviously, he was into yard work. A little bit of, you know, working on the outside yard. I'm kidding, of course. But you get the point. It was his official way of saying, this is land that God has given. It's almost like staking your tent peg or putting down your flag on the moon. You know, not that we own the moon, but the point is, you know, we got there first type thing. And this is my land. And so he puts up a tree of remembrance here in just a moment. And we'll talk about that more as we get there here in just a second. But notice what happens here again. Verse 32, it says, thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines many days. I love Abraham in that everywhere he settles, he sets up altars and or places of worship. Have you noticed that? Everywhere Abraham goes, he finds a good church right off the bat. I love that about him. You know, hey, this looks like a good tree. We'll worship the Lord right here. You know, he's always got his priorities in order. And that's what I love about Abraham, seeing his heart and seeing his love for the Lord. You know, in more than one place, as we've gone through Genesis, we've seen Abraham near a tree when worshiping the Lord. And again, it's no different right here, except for he plants the tree himself. And again, the planting of this tamarisk tree, I think, would have been kind of a personal landmark for Abraham. But it was also a very practical thing to do in that these trees grew to be very good shade. They're very thickly, you know, bushed out when they get bigger. And so you'd have this shade here. And so there were a lot of practical reasons for planting this tree. But I think there's even more reasons for planting this tree. I think there were some symbolic reasons for Abraham in planting this tree, as well as some symbolic reasons for us in having a tree of remembrance in our life. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's interesting. The tamarisk tree is also known as the salt cedar because literally its leaves excrete salt. Now, not only that, it also is known to be a very sturdy tree with great longevity and very, very powerful roots. As a matter of fact, as I was doing some study on the tamarisk tree just this week, I read one story where they actually had to remove a building and build it somewhere else because these tamarisk roots had grown down in the foundation and was breaking the building up. That's how strong these trees are, the root system. So they actually moved the building to a new location. The point is that this tree would have been very symbolic in Abraham's life up to this point. And I want to look at some of the ways that it would have been symbolic to him. Really, what I would call it is a tree of remembrance. And how so? Well, notice first of all, because salt is a preservative. As a matter of fact, when they made covenants back then, they would call it a covenant of salt. God would have them do covenants of salt because that showed a sign of longevity and a sign of something that was a preservative, if you will, something that was lasting. But it was also a sign not only of longevity, but of commitment and of promise. And what better way to remember the promises of God and the longevity for his descendants in the land than to plant this tamarisk tree. It's like, Lord, this is my first piece of land, and you said it's going to be ours, and we're going to be here. I'm going to plant this sturdy tree with great and huge, powerful roots and just leave it here as an example to me. And every time we're traveling through and we stop by our well, we'll put our tent up, we'll have some shade, we'll have the well, and everything will be taken care of. And so what a great reminder of God's promises. And you can imagine, every time Abraham rode up on his camel, you know, or came into town, he'd see that tamarisk tree. And say, that reminds me of the promises of God. You see, it was a tree of remembrance in his life, and he needed that. Secondly, since the tamarisk tree has such deep roots, it would also help Abraham remember God's faithfulness in that God's promises are deeply rooted in his eternal truth. And so again, this would have been a great reminder for him of God's faithfulness as well. Thirdly, since it made a great shade tree, it would help Abraham remember God's protection as he's being shaded from the heat, if you will, of that environment. Why God's protection? Well, remember what came to the planting of this tamarisk tree. One of the things were these guys came and stole his well. And he had to go get his well back. God was his protector. God defended him. God moved in Abimelech's heart to come see him so they could resolve this issue. And so again, we see that it would always be a reminder that God is his protector. Fourthly, it would have helped Abraham to remember God's provision. Again, in this area, if you didn't have water, you died. And even in the midst of dry places, Abraham needed to know and needed to remember that God is faithful to provide the provision needed in those places. And lastly, it would have been a reminder to Abraham of God's forgiveness in that Abimelech had forgiven Abraham and Abraham had forgiven Abimelech, and they'd been able to make this covenant and this agreement over this whole issue of the well and then, of course, eventually leading to the planting of this tree. But now, again, that was Abraham's tree of remembrance. Guys, here's my encouragement for us as we finish up today, and that is we need a tree of remembrance as well. And what's exciting is God has given us a tree of remembrance in the cross at Calvary. And that is every time that Abraham looked at that tree, he would remember all these things that God did. Every time we look at the cross of Calvary, we need to remember those things. And God knows we have a bad memory. And some of you right now are beginning to forget that God is faithful in all those areas. So what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do this morning is get your eyes back on the cross of Calvary, back on your tree of remembrance that God has given you. Just like he has Abraham. How so? Well, when we remember the promise that God gave to Abraham, he would remember that by seeing his tree of remembrance. The tree of Calvary causes us to remember of the blood and the salt that were spilled there for us. The promise of God. Why the salt? Remember the tree would excrete salt from the leaves? Jesus, in his suffering, excreted much salt, if you will, upon the cross, along with the blood, as he went through the sweat and the agony of the cross, even beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so again, it reminds us of the faithfulness. The cross reminds us of the promise of God and that what God promises, God is going to do. What is the second thing? Well, even as this tree of remembrance for Abraham reminded him of God's faithfulness, the tree of Calvary reminds us of God's faithfulness in that even as that tree was deeply rooted, so is the cross. You don't get deeper roots than the cross. And that is God has promised us that he will do what he said. The foundation is firm and we can rest completely our entire future, eternity, and salvation on Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross. The roots are deep. What about the third one? And that is, remember Abraham remembered the protection that God provided. It would have been a reminder through his tree of remembrance, the Calvary tree as well, being that tree of remembrance to remind us of the protection that God gives us. You know, the Bible says Satan was defeated on the cross. And even as these men came and tried to steal, kill, and destroy, if you will, by taking the well forcefully and violently out of Abraham's hands, Satan tries to come, Jesus said, to steal, kill, and destroy, and to take away what God has given us. But God is our protector. And if you ever forget that God is our protection, you need to once again look at the tree of Calvary, to look at this tree of remembrance. Well, fourthly, what happens when he looks at the tree of provision? That is when Abraham is reminded of God's provision. This tree is planted there because God has provided this well and this sustaining life. Well, when we look at the cross of Calvary, it also needs to remind us that because of what Jesus did on the cross, he has promised he will take care of all of our needs. The Bible says that God will take care of our needs richly by his glory, his riches in heaven, rather. And so again, we see that God has promised through his provision as well. And some of you this morning might be saying, you know what? I need to know of God's promise provision-wise. Look at the cross. Well, what's the next one? Lastly, even as he remembered the forgiveness that was given back and forth between Abimelech and between Abraham, guys, when we look to the cross, we remember the forgiveness given in the blood of Christ. And we need to remember that. Some of you this morning may be struggling in some of these areas. Some of you are doubting the promises of God. You need to look to your tree of remembrance. And remember that God is faithful to his promises. Some of you likewise are wondering whether or not God's going to be faithful to you. You need to look at the tree of remembrance, the cross, and remember God's faithfulness to die for you is the same faithfulness he's going to carry through to bring the promises to pass. And some of you might be saying, yeah, but is God really going to protect me in this situation? You need to look at your tree of remembrance. God has promised he will be our protector. He has defeated Satan on the cross, and he will now be our protector. Some of you are saying, yes, but what about the provision? I know God knows my needs and then knows that my needs are great right now. You look to the tree of remembrance. Look to the cross. Because God not only gave provision for the sins of mankind, but through that, promised forgiveness, promised provision for all of our needs after that. And lastly, if you're thinking, how could God forgive me? God doesn't forgive me. How could he forgive me? You don't know what I've done in my sins. Guys, you need to look to the cross. You need to look to your tree of remembrance to remember, you know what? God is a God of forgiveness. And if God wasn't a God of forgiveness, he wouldn't have gone to the cross and spilled his blood for you on your behalf. The cross is the answer. Looking to the cross, whatever your problem is, I don't know where you are as far as your issues, but I know this, your tree of remembrance is the cross. Here's the question. Do you have a tree of remembrance? Have you planted one? And first I address the believers in here, the Christians, because there may be both Christian and non-Christian. And maybe nobody knows that but you, but let me say this first to the Christians. Do you have the tree of remembrance firmly planted in your heart and your mind? Are you keeping it there to remind you that God is faithful to take care of all the different needs that you have and all the things that we just talked about? If you don't have that and you're doubting this morning, you need to reaffirm that in your heart and say, all right, Lord, I've been doubting you, but you know what? I look to the cross and I see that in the cross, you've done everything that I need for my life. Therefore, I lay aside my doubts. You will provide. You will protect. You will forgive. You will be faithful. You will be everything that I need. And I reestablish that and plant that now firmly in my heart with deep roots of belief. But what about the unbeliever? You see, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you don't have a tree of remembrance yet. Now, you can go in your backyard and plant a tree. It's not going to do you any good. You need a tree of remembrance in Christ. You need the cross planted in your life and in your heart. You know, it's interesting. Jesus said this, if you deny me before men on earth, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. That's a scary verse, isn't it? What he's saying is, if you remember me now, if you acknowledge the tree of remembrance in your life right now, then when it comes to that day where we all stand before God, the ultimate judge of all mankind, I'll remember you. And I'll say, enter into the kingdom, into the joy of the Lord. Guys, we need to make sure that we have that tree of remembrance in our life. And that's simply by saying, hey, if we don't know the Lord, by saying, you know what? God, I confess my sins to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. And the Bible says if you do that, you will be saved and be born again. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave his blood to help you deal with your spiritual condition. The question is, will you accept his donation or not? You see, we can choose to reject it. Tamara could show up and say, hey, I'm glad everybody at Calvary gave all that blood, but don't put that on my account. I refuse it. I don't want it. And they say, what? You're crazy. They've given this. It's a free gift. I don't care. We can do the same thing with Christ. We could show up to the Lord and we could say, you know what? I don't care. I know you died on the cross. I've heard about your blood for me, but you know what? It's not for me. I'm glad it worked for you. I'm glad it worked for you, Pastor Mark. That's really nice. No, the bottom line is the Bible says that Jesus died for all the world and that all that would come to him, he would receive, and that all mankind will stand before the Lord one day and give account of their life. And those that have not received the blood of Jesus Christ for their sin will not enter the kingdom of God. Here's my plea. Make sure that as Jesus donated that blood on your behalf 2,000 years ago, don't reject it. It's time to receive it and let his blood be a blood not only of physical healing, which he does from time to time, but more importantly, a blood of spiritual healing as God washes away our sins. And let's give him the opportunity to do that.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition, where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis, the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.